clear of the closing doors, please.
Welcome to Subway Sports Talk. My name is Peter Kennedy, and I am your host. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning into SST on Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, and on YouTube. Don't forget, you can watch the show on Spotify as well. So if you want to follow along while we go 3-0 apiece on our picks for Week 16, you can watch us on Spotify as well as listen on your podcast app. Joining us today, as always, the two goats of Subway Sports Talk picks, one of which being the hot 5-1 Pat Boyle in the last 2 weeks, and then the consistent, the COC, consistent O'Connor over here, who's just chipping away another week without losing, Cody O'Connor in the building as well. And obviously, Mark Shinluga is not here because he's just ducking us. This is what he does. It's what he does best, and he's not here. But we're here to do some picks. Let me recap before we get to Pat and Cody. Let me tell you how well we did last week in Week 15. We had a banner week. Combined 8-3-1 between myself, Pat, Cody, and Mark. I was 2-1. Cody was 1-1-1. Mark Shinlugan 2-1. And Pat Boyle, as mentioned, hot 3-0. That brings our total record to 95-83-2. 12 games above 500 on the year. Shout out to all of us. Patty B, you're hot right now. What's up, brother?
I'm just standing on business, Pete. I'm standing on business, unlike Mark Shinlugan, who the day after the Knicks blow out the Nets, he ducks the entire group chat. He's a ghost. I'm sending all caps message after all caps message. Mitchell Robinson done for the year. Maybe we can do a Knicks podcast at a different time. But, yeah, just got to keep it rolling. I told you guys, the comeback trail is on. I'm a team that gets hot, gets a wild card, and goes and makes a run to the Super Bowl. So got to just keep plugging away here. I've been doing well with just taking the spreads. I'm still up in the air right now as we start this podcast as to what I want to do with some picks here. So hopefully I'll figure it out in the next 5 minutes or so.
A lot of straight bets out of us last week. Pat, you did three straight bets. I did three straight bets. Cody had two out of his three bets being straight. And yeah, straight up winners for the most part. Obviously, Cody got that push with the Bengals. But combined on the straight bets, because we obviously know Mark didn't choose any straight bets. But Pat was 3-0. I was 2-1. So that's 5-1. And Cody was 1-0-1 on his straight bets. So that's that's a great 6-1-1 on the straight bets yet for us last week. Pretty good stuff. Cody, how you feeling right now?
I feel great because, you know, 3-0, anybody can do 3-0. Anybody can pick three winners. But it takes real talent to be able to pick a winner, a loser, and a tie all in 1 week. 1-1-1. You know, I'd argue that's an immaculate week, but not a losing week nonetheless, jokes aside. Like you said, just got to keep pushing. Final stretch here. 12 games over 500 as a group. Nice number. Let's keep it rolling.
I always think about this, and I don't know how to make it actually something that can be put into practice, but obviously it's just as hard to get all of your picks wrong as it is to get all your picks right. But there has to be some sort of way that we can create a contest or a game or some maybe a parlay insurance of sorts that if all bets are equal value, so like within that minus 100 to minus 120 range, if you can get all of your legs wrong, you're basically just as good as somebody who got all the legs right. We got to figure out a way to include that in somehow, because if you really think about it, if I told you, Cody, go out this week and go 0-3, it would be kind of hard. It would be hard to do.
And you know what's funny is the pool that I continue to reference in here that I do with my buddy, they do a last place gets money out paid out. And if you have a zero for the week, meaning you did make every incorrect pick, you get paid out just that week. So in that pool that they do have that kind of system in place. So it's funny you mention.
Right. I always just laugh to myself. If I owned a sports book, if I ever take over Marsh and Lugan sports book, I would love to give like a pity dollar. If you put in a parlay of four legs and you get all of them wrong, like the sports book should just give you a dollar because they feel bad for you. Like call it like the pity purchase or something like that, that you get some sort of insurance on your parlay. Because if you get it all wrong, here's a dollar because we feel bad for you, how bad you are at this. And I think it would make everybody really happy and it would be funny. But nonetheless, let's get on to our picks. It's week 16. That's insane. Week 16 already. I cannot believe it. And now, you know, Pat, since you have been a little bit hot lately, 5-1 the last 2 weeks, I think you might be in line to kick us off with your first pick. So go ahead and knock yourself out.
Yeah, and I was seeing this at 3 earlier today, and now that I get the hook, I am taking it. Give me the Tennessee Titans plus 3.5 straight up here. I think this is a game that the Titans can win. I think Seattle coming off of the huge win against the Eagles, I mean, let's be honest, and you guys feel free to jump in here. What do we think about Drew Lock? Who is Drew Lock as a quarterback? Is he a quarterback that is going to, on average, maybe another, if you give him another 100 chances, he's probably five times or less is going to go 92 yards in a minute 28 with no timeouts, right?
Correct.
So do we think that Drew Lock should be a 3.5-point favorite on the road against the Titans?
Is it definitely Drew Lock?
It could be Geno. It might be Geno, but I think the point stands. But it might be Geno. Don't know if it's official yet, but I think your point is accurate. 3.5 is a little ridiculous for a Titans team that's been a little frisky.
Should Drew Lock backing up Geno Smith be 3.5 3.5-point favorite on the road? Geno or Drew Lock? To me, this more just comes down to this is a system play, right? You guys know I love Vrabel in these rah-rah spots. 3.5, more than a field goal dog at home. I had him plus 13 a couple of weeks ago. They won outright against the Dolphins. They don't have much to play for in terms of their season, and their quarterback situation is very murky as well. Is it going to be Tannehill? Is it going to be Billy Beavis? Is it going to be Will Levis? I'm not sure right now. Levis did not practice again on Thursday. The point stands, whether it is Drew Lock, whether it is Geno Smith, I don't think the Seahawks are that great of a team to be 3.5-point favorites on the road. Yes, they've got a playoff position to fight for, so they have the extra motivation, but come on, these guys are professional athletes, and I trust any team that is coached by Mike Vrabel that they're going to show up and they're going to play. Titans defense, a lot of questionables in the secondary. I would definitely keep an eye out for that if you're listening to this on Friday or even on Saturday or even early Sunday morning. We got this is a Sunday 1 o'clock kick in Nashville. But the point stands. The Titans, as they always do, when they're underdogs, especially if it is Tannehill, I don't mind, honestly, who's playing quarterback for the Titans. If it's Levis, we know what he can do with the big arm. He can stretch the ball down the field. If it's Tannehill, I feel more comfortable that he's probably going to manage the game a little bit better, not turn the ball over as much. And it's his first game back, so you know he's trying to prove something, whether it's for the future, whether it's for a future contract, whatever his future holds. If it is Tannehill that starts, I like the Titans to be able to run the ball effectively against the Seahawks team that I just don't think is that great defensively, right? I mean, we know the Eagles have all their problems. So the main point is I'm not getting caught up in getting carried away with the win for the Seahawks on Monday night, a game that they lose 99 times out of 100 with that final drive. Titans have been playing pretty well regardless of what their motivation is to make the playoffs, right? Two overtime losses in the last 3 weeks, the other two games, the win against Miami, and they took care of the Panthers all the way back on Thanksgiving weekend. So, this is a spot where I'm comfortable backing Mike Vrabel at home, 3.5-point dog. Give me the Titans.
I love it. I love the Titans backing right there. They've been playing some inspired football for some reason as well over there in Tennessee. Cody, what are you thinking for your first pick?
Well, you know what's funny is I was actually looking on the other side of that initially. One of the first looks I took was going to be Seattle, and I didn't know of the health status of Geno. I didn't know if Will Levis was playing, and ultimately I just got spooked off it altogether. So I'm glad we're not going against each other. My first pick is going to be a straight pick because you guys are right. It's been working for us. So let's not add the legs. Let's not mess around. Let's go with one big spread here, probably the biggest of the week if I'm not mistaken. No, I'm not. It's not the biggest of the week because it's not the Giants game. It's the Buffalo Bills who moved to minus 12.5 now. In L.A., which is a road game, air quoted, because playing in L.A. is not really much of a road game. And that Chargers team getting beat by 63-20 was the final score, if I'm not mistaken. That was no fluke. That was no mistake. I know that they fired the coach. I know that they fired the GM. But the Bills are coming off of a really big win against Dallas, two in a row. They look like they've got it rolling. And I just don't see the Chargers being able to slow this train down. They are in a playoff push. They are in a spot where they might not have to win out, but they all but have to be at least 2-1 for the final three games. And they're certainly not going to drop this game. I don't see how the Chargers keep it close. It was 11.5, like I said. It moved to 12.5. I would take it at 13.5 and 14.5. Hell, I might take it up at 19.5. I think this is just a rolling of the Chargers. I just don't think they can hang. They don't have Herbert. They don't have Keenan Allen. Austin Eckler's looking slow. The defense couldn't stop Aiden O'Connell. What makes you think that they can stop Josh Allen and this Bills offense with James Cook running the ball well? They're finally getting him involved. Dalton Kincaid's looked awesome. Hey, Stephon Diggs hasn't even done much, and neither has Gabe Davis, and they didn't have to against a really good Dallas team. So if they don't have to do that against Dallas, there's nothing that tells me that the Chargers can slow this team down even a little bit. So not too much more that goes into it. It is my favorite pick of the week. Bills minus 12.5, pick number one.
All right, so with all this talk about straight bets, let me give you a two-team teaser. I'm going to go with my first leg or my first pick of the week with a standard two-team six-point teaser. Two underdogs. We're going to take them both from 2.5 up to 8.5. That's going to be the Indianapolis Colts at the Atlanta Falcons up to plus 8.5, as well as the Houston Texans at home with C.J. Stroud obviously still kind of in the air, still possibly going to be out with a concussion, but I'm not scared off yet getting them up to plus 8.5. They obviously competed last week against the Titans without C.J. Stroud, and they won that game, a nail-biter in overtime. They won by 3, but right now the Texans have lost only 3 games by more than this 8.5 mark. One of them, they got blown out by the Jets. Obviously, Stroud was knocked out of that game, but they played pretty poorly. Other than that, they're keeping games really close. Most of their losses are within a couple points, and obviously they've been winning a bunch of games. If Stroud's in, you lock this in at a great number when it's probably going to go down. Obviously, if Stroud's out, you might even get another point or two, and you maybe want to think about playing them straight. But right now, at plus 2.5, you get them up to plus 8.5 against a Browns team that, yes, is still being frisky, is still playing well. They're not exactly knocking the socks off of people consistently. Joe Flacco obviously has been a wonderful story. It's been hysterical to watch the elite Joe Flacco talk just because of how unlikely it was for him to come out here and play such good football with Cleveland. But in Houston, got to expect this game to be close, and I think that 8.5 is a beautiful number. You get through the 3 and through the 7. Same concept here for the Falcons. For the Colts against the Falcons. And this one's a little bit more about the Falcons here than it is the Colts. Obviously, the Colts have been pretty frisky this year. They're putting up some good points. They're playing pretty well. They're obviously in line for a possible playoff berth of their own. The Falcons, however, have been really disappointing. They have been not blowing people out. In fact, almost all of their wins this year have been by less than a touchdown. You look through it, they beat the Saints by 9, so that would go against this 8.5 point spread. Other than that, you got to go all the way back to week 1 where they beat the Panthers by 14. They have not been putting the hurt on people and winning by more than a touchdown. So you get the Colts at plus 8.5, you get the Texans at plus 8.5. This teaser was made in heaven to go through the 3, through the 7, the two key numbers. You get over a touchdown on both of them, and you just hope for some close games with teams that are not equipped right now to blow people away and to put the foot on the throat and get people out of this game. So I think they're two close games with the Colts and Falcons and the Browns and Texans, and I like getting 8.5 on both of them.
All right, pick number 2. The matchup of the maybe most fraudulent teams in the NFL, Cowboys and the Dolphins, Sunday, 4:25 in Miami. The Cowboys and the Dolphins is the first game between teams with 20-plus combined wins, but just one or fewer wins versus teams above 500. How about that? So, I mean, we've had this argument.
Tidbit right there, Pat. Well played. Yeah.
What a stat. Wow.
I'm coming with tidbits. That's what you got on Subway Sports Talk with Patty Claus here on this Christmas weekend. I'm going two-team teaser. I'm breaking the streak on the straight-up bets here. Give me the Dolphins plus 6.5, and I'm going to parlay that with the 49ers money line. So let's start with Miami. First of all, Tyreek Hill. I think he's going to play. If he doesn't play, if he gets ruled out on Sunday, maybe you don't feel as good tailing this, but I think Tyreek Hill is going to play. Didn't play last week. Dolphins had no problem scheming against the Jets. I mean, it's the Jets, so, you know, Mike McDaniel coached circles around Robert Saleh. Going to be a much different story with Mike McCarthy here, but I think Tyreek is going to play, and even if he's not 100%, I think he's been playing banged up for a lot of this season. So Tua gets his number one weapon back. We know how good this offense can be. The Cowboys secondary has kind of been feast or famine this year, right? Deron Bland with all the pick sixes and Stephon Gilmore has played better at times, but I mean, they're not susceptible to getting torched in the secondary. We've seen that at times this year. So they stop the run pretty well. Miami doesn't run the ball all that great. I mean, hopefully Devon Achane plays, and I feel really great about this. But just as these injury reports are out here with Mostert and Achane both questionable here on Thursday night, when this game gets played Sunday afternoon at 4:25, I do feel good about the Dolphins keeping this close. And if they do lose, I don't think it's going to be by a touchdown. I think they keep it within 6. Then with the Niners, You know, really kind of a trap spread, I think. It's right at 5. It's in between 3. It's in between 7. A lot of people think that the Ravens are due here. This may be a possible Super Bowl preview. I still think the Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl. I don't care how average they've looked this year. I just think this is another game where the 49ers are at home. They will take care of business, right? They're going to run the ball as great as Baltimore's run defense has been this year. San Francisco has the better overall defense in my mind. And yes, the one thing is, can they contain Lamar? We saw Lamar go in circus mode on, you know, in the last game for Baltimore as they dismantled who did they beat 23-7? I'm blanking
Jaguars.
Here. Yes, the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence, again, all the points they left on the table, all the turnovers that they should have had points and got nothing out of. I think the 49ers are the better overall team. You know, I expect them to run the ball efficiently. Purdy's been fantastic. This might settle your MVP discussion as well here on Christmas night when these two play. It's the last game of the weekend after you're all boozed up and liquored up and you've had all the Christmas you can have. If somehow, if you take the massive three-leg favorite parlay that I know a lot of people are going to be on, right? Because let's be honest, everybody's going to bet the Eagles. Everybody is going to bet the Chiefs. So if you get those two to win, everybody's going to be banking on the 49ers to finish it out. And that's a risky spot to be in come Sunday night when you're full of liquor and food at 8 o'clock at night. But I do think the 49ers win this game. I just, you know, it's been in my DNA not to trust Lamar Jackson in big spots like this and playoff spots. You know, most of the time he's not even healthy enough. He's been fantastic. He's been great. The Ravens defense has been great. Maybe they cover this one. You know, if you like, you know, you want to get the Ravens up 6-7 points to 10.5, I wouldn't be upset with that. But I trust the 49ers to win this game above everything else. So Fins plus 6.5, Niners money line. That's minus 122 odds.
The best game of the week, for sure. Maybe the best game to this point in the season. And I didn't know what to do with it. I know come Monday night, I'll do something with it, of course. But I didn't know, you know, because it's tough to bet against the Niners and buy a team up when they've just blown out everybody. But that was my initial instinct was, oh, I've got the Ravens at 5, 5.5. If I can buy them up just 3 points to 8.5. Oh, Jesus. Sorry, my same game parlay could be fumbling right before our very eyes here as a punt was blocked by the Saints. I needed to stay under. Anyway, pick number two for me. Pete, we say this last week, we got another sandwich opportunity. And it's funny because my next pick will incorporate one of your legs on your last play. But this one is on the opposite side, and it's the Browns -3, and it's for the reason that I don't think C.J. Stroud is playing. And if he plays, I will have to, you know, just keep this pick out there because I did put it out there. But I will not feel as good about it nearly. But from what I've seen, he's not supposed to play this week. And without him, the Texans were still able to get that win last week against the Titans, but they were pretty fortunate to do so. They had a ball go through a DB's hands on the Titans right there at the goal line. And, you know, able to complete that game and get the win and keep it rolling. And hats off to the Texans and to D'Amico Ryans for even bypassing Davis Mills to go with the veteran quarterback last week. And it paid off for them. So, you know, hats off. But do I think that they're going to do that again? Again, I thought it was a little fluky last week. So for me to think that they're going to do it again against a Browns team that has just been at least on one side of the ball as dominant as anybody. And if Joe Flacco, you know, there's some type of magic, there's some type of juice going on with him over there in Cleveland. They get that late touchdown to Amari Cooper down the sideline to keep their hopes alive and ultimately pull out that game. So -3, am I looking for another push? I might be on my way, but I'm going to go with the Brownies straight up. Like I said, the Texans just without C.J. Stroud, they're obviously down Tank Dell. Nico Collins is questionable going in, and he was out last week. So if he's playing, you don't know what capacity that's going to look like. And just a banged-up Texans team that got a really, really great win last week, and I just don't think that they're going to do it again. I trust more of what the Browns have been doing and their consistency. And, again, just knowing that at least on one side of the ball, that defensive unit is going to show up. Myles Garrett, to me, is the runaway defensive player of the year at this point. And so I'm trusting that that defense can keep them in it, if nothing else. Run the ball, control the clock, keep possession, don't turn it over. That's what Flacco's been doing. And if they can keep that up, minus three feels okay to me. So going with another straight leg here, and it's Browns, or rather a straight pick, one leg, Browns minus three for pick number two.
Now, Cody, I'm seeing on FanDuel that the Browns are minus 2.5. So I'll give you this opportunity right now. If you want to take the 2.5, you can book it. I'll allow it. On DraftKings, it's minus 3. On pregame.com, it's 2.5. And on FanDuel, it's 2.5. So if you want the 2.5, I feel like that's a play. Because I just used the 2.5 leg for my teaser. So, you know, I'm just putting out an olive branch for you right now.
Appreciate you. Of course I'm going to take the 2.5. As much as I'd love to puff my chest out and show my confidence and say, no, you know what? I'll go the other way and I'll take a minus 3.5. I'll show you guys. Now I'll take them 2.5. Let's keep it simple. So give me the field goal to win it. Obviously, I feel much better at that. What's the – it's a little hard to see. Minus 120?
Minus 120. But right here, the straight – I put the camera up, my phone up to the camera here. It's probably reversed mirrored. You probably can't even read it there. But it is 2.5 on FanDuel, confirmed live. So I'm giving you the half point.
I did try to do the scroll on DraftKings and see what minus 3 would be from minus 3.5. And I think it was minus 126. And we've kind of had it at minus 125, so there was no cheating going on over here. And so
I respect your honorableness there, but I'm giving it to you. 2.5. Browns minus 2.5.
See, that's called good karma, people. That's what happens when you tell the truth.
Ain't that the truth, all right?
Petey Claus comes around, Patty Claus. Petey Claus.
Handing out half points. Handing out half points like it's my freaking job over here. All right, what I'm going to do, though, now is I'm going to take a bet that is a little bit frisky at the moment because of what we've seen over the past 3 weeks for both sides here. So I'm betting on the team that has lost three in a row and against the team that has won three in a row. And that's going to lead me to taking the Jacksonville Jaguars off of the horrible loss in prime time. I'm taking them plus 3 at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because right now, to me, that's just too many points, and that's the market overcorrecting to the Jaguars, who have been looking down and out lately. But what I've done all year long on this podcast, in the picks pool here that we're working with, I've been trying to find the spots where I think the market is incorrect because they're overreacting to what we've seen most recently. So right now, the Jaguars, 3 weeks ago, lost by 3 to the Bengals in overtime. They lost by 4 to the Browns 2 weeks ago. We know what happened on primetime against the Ravens just last week, where they left all sorts of points on the table over and over again. And what I'm honestly sick of right now, I am sick and tired of seeing that damn graphic between Trevor Lawrence and Daniel Jones trying to act like they are even in the same realm as quarterbacks here in the NFL. Like Trevor Lawrence is actually in the middle bottom half of quarterbacks like Daniel Jones so squarely is. I'm sick of it. And I think this is a spot where the Jaguars can show up and put out a great performance against a Buck team that everyone's getting a little bit hyped about right now. They just beat the Green Bay Packers, who I happen to find a little bit fraudulent. They beat them by 2 touchdowns. They beat the Falcons by 4. They beat the Panthers by 3. They're 3 wins in a row right here. Jaguars are 3 losses in a row. To me, that's a perfect spot to get behind Jacksonville, to get them plus 3, to take Trevor Lawrence, who is the better quarterback in this position. I don't care that Baker's been outplaying him for a couple of weeks now. Trevor Lawrence, I'm sick of the blasphemy. I'm sick of people trying to act like he's not a good quarterback. He is squarely in the top 10 conversation in the league, and I don't care that there's a couple bad games for him over the course of this year, and I definitely don't care that people are pulling in his first year to show stats being similar to Daniel Jones. And Pat, I know you and I went back and forth in the group chat a little bit talking about the stats and how much more similar they are than maybe we want to admit, and we took out Daniel Jones's worst season, and we took out Trevor Lawrence's season, and they were still kind of similar. But I know when I'm watching football, as much as we all do, I do not see Trevor Lawrence being a mediocre quarterback. I see him still being electric, still being able to push the ball down the field. And again, you look at one of those games like they just lost to the Ravens and all those points they left on the field, that's not going to continue to happen. Not 4 weeks in a row. This team is too good. They have enough talent. Their defense is still fine. They're going to show up here and you get them plus 3. In reality, if I told you at any other point in the season that the Jaguars would be a 3-point dog to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we would assume Trevor Lawrence is out. Now, he's a little bit banged up. That's fair. That's accurate. However, he's playing through it. He's looking athletic. It's not looking like it's hindering him too much. And I'm not using that as an excuse. I think the Jaguars are a great money line play if you like them like I do, but you get them plus three and you feel wonderful about it. They have lost these three games in a row. Two of those losses were by 3 points and 4 points. Minimum, this game will be close, down to a field goal late in the game, but I like the Jaguars to win it outright. I'll take them plus three as my second pick.
Pete, I didn't want to ruin your mojo, but it's looking like Trevor Lawrence is not going to play this weekend.
I saw the same thing with a concussion, correct?
Yeah, Rappaport did a hit at 7:30 p.m. today on Thursday and said the Jaguars are likely to play this weekend without Trevor Lawrence, still in concussion protocol.
I appreciate you letting me spread my wings and fly there, but obviously that will have to make me reconsider everything that I just said.
I wanted to make sure I was right before I chimed in and broke your mojo there, but yeah, I don't think he's going to play.
Oh, he is in concussion protocol right now, which is definitely unfortunate and makes me feel better about how I looked at the spread and said that they'd only be plus three if Trevor Lawrence wasn't playing. So it looks like I was not completely inaccurate with my process in looking at the spread there. However, I did not have all the information at hand, and I probably should have confirmed that. I looked at that pick a little too early before I saw the news. I was in transit, and here we are. So maybe I'll circle back on that and put out a new pick. But yeah, how about that? I don't know really what to do with my hands at this point in time.
Again, as you were doing it, because I saw the spread and I was like, oh, I know Lawrence is in concussion protocol. I'm not sure if he's going to play. And I wanted to confirm. But yeah, Rappaport did put out a tweet that he is likely to not play. So
yeah, I saw the same because I was actually going to take the Jags. It was plus one, I think. When I saw it earlier today, and then later in the day, I saw that Trevor might be out, and so I completely scrapped the pick as well because I liked it. I thought the same thing as you, Pete. So your head was in the right place.
Yeah, I remain with my stance on Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars, but obviously, not having all the information there, I might have to reconsider. So I'll circle back and maybe I'll give out another pick, and then we'll see what happens with the T-Law news. But yeah, so for now, I have one pick out. One pick pending, and I'll give out another pick just in case in a minute here.
You just pushed on a pick. How about that?
How about that? I'm already 0-0-1 just right now. All right, Pat, hit us with number three.
I'm up for my last pick, right? Okay. Yep, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the square parlay on Christmas Day that, you know, like I said, so many people are going to be on. If you don't throw in the three-legger, this is going to be the two-legger, the six-point teaser on the Chiefs and on the Eagles. Give me it. I want it. I want every bit of it. I really do hope that either the Raiders or the Giants show up and make this a game because it'll make the game more fun to watch. But from a betting standpoint, from a logical standpoint, the Chiefs, who, again, are still fielding questions on are they a real team? Have they lost it? The receivers dropping passes. Kelce hasn't scored a touchdown in what feels like a 3 months. He hasn't scored in four games. He had a six-game touchdownless streak last year. This seems like forever, especially with the Taylor Swift stuff. So you get all that ramping up. The turnovers, Kadarius Toney, absolutely sucks. But that being said, again, I am not going to get carried away, and I don't think many people are, with the 63-point win that the Raiders put up against the Chargers, beating them by 42 points. Because the week before that, again, they got shut out by the Minnesota Vikings. So I think the Chiefs take care of business. I think they're going to continue to get hot here as the season comes to a close. They've got two easy games. They play the Chargers the final week. They've got a tough game mixed in there in between against Cincinnati, although, you know, how tough is it with Jake Browning starting at quarterback? So I think the Chiefs, you're going to see them really get into A-plus mode here over the next couple of weeks. I don't think they take this game lightly at all. It's Christmas Day. No better way to get your Christmas started if you're a Chiefs fan, if you're Andy Reid and Patty Mahomes, by taking care of business. So I think the Chiefs clobber the Las Vegas Raiders. I still don't think Aiden O'Connell is very good, and I don't think this Raiders defense is very good. So if Max Crosby doesn't get five sacks, the Chiefs should have this game well in their hands. And then again, the Eagles, another team, another Super Bowl contender that have been so miserable. And Monday night, another edition, letting Drew Locke charge down the field. James Bradberry gets absolutely torched on two different third down plays, playing one-on-one. Matty Patricia's calling the plays defensively. You know, offensively, they're having issues. Jalen Hurts was battling the flu. And the Giants were riding the high. And I said on The Fan on early Sunday morning when I hosted, they were going to get steamrolled by the Saints. They were going to come back down to life. They were going to come back down to earth. As much as I love the Tommy DeVito story, Now him and his marketing team, who he just fired, and, you know, Sean Stellato is still his agent, but now he's got a new marketing team for the other stuff, trying to squeeze an extra $10,000 out of an appearance fee for a pizzeria. You know, he's worried about trademarking Tommy Cutlets rather than playing football. It's Christmas Day in Philly. If they're not pelting snowballs at Santa Claus, they're going to be pelting snowballs and sack balls at Tommy DeVito. I think this is going to be a nightmare again for the Giants offensive line, who can't block anybody. And if there's ever a game for the Eagles pass rush to really round into form, it's this game. So it's going to be another Christmas massacre for Big Blue on Sunday. Give me the Eagles -6.5 and the Chiefs -4.5. That's -110 odds.
I wish I could say I hate it, and I wish I could say that the Giants are going to put up a fight, and I believe that they're going to give us a – no. I don't believe any of that, but I'm staying away from it. I'm going to just completely be away. Pick number three for me. Let's move right along. So, Pete, I told you last time that one of these legs matches yours, and it is the Colts +8.5, and you highlighted so much of it, so I'm just going to kind of brush through it really quickly, but neither of us, and I don't think anybody believes that Atlanta can blow somebody out. Bill Simmons and Sal talk about it on their podcast weekly, how they seemingly are in a 12-10 game late in the third quarter, early fourth quarter, every single week, and even against the lonely Panthers they were, and they ultimately end up losing that game, and that's what you get when you let a team like that hang around. So I just don't believe in much of the Falcons. I don't believe in Desmond Ridder. I don't think that they can move the ball. And you know what? The Colts and Gardner Minshew, they sure as hell can. You know, whatever you might think of them and whatever you might think, they're getting Jonathan Taylor back. They move the ball pretty consistently because Gardner Minshew ain't afraid to take chances. He's not afraid to take those risk plays. And a lot of times they pay off for him. And that's why they're able to move the ball. And that's why they are 8-6. And that's why they're in the playoff hunt. And more so, they're even in the division battle right now. And with Trevor Lawrence being banged up, all of a sudden that Jags in the AFC South is very, very spooky with the Texans right there with them. So I think that the Colts are going to win this game outright. But weirdness happens in the NFL, and I liked this second pick enough to, instead of just take the Colts straight up as a third straight leg, I got them through the 6.5, 7.5, up to 8.5 can cover if there's a two-point conversion or anything weird like that. So I love the Colts there, and I'm going with the Packers, who burnt me on Monday Night Football and then lost another one. So almost kind of following your trend here, Pete, as a team who has lost back-to-back games and who people are probably down on and not thinking much of right now, I'm saying that they're going to bounce back, and I'm just going to take them on the money line to play up against the Panthers, who I just, you know, I've said it all year. I think they're the worst team in football. I said that since maybe week two or three, and they've been proving me right ever since. So I'm not going to stop that feeling now. The Panthers are home, but I think the Packers are going to get back to at least some type of a winning way, beat the Panthers, and stay in the thick of the playoff race, because that's right where they're at. So in an NFC that is jumbled up and anyone can go grab that wild card as long as you're not the New York Football Giants, it's wide open for the rest of those teams, and the Packers are another one of them. So Panthers don't have much to play for. Packers have everything to play for. Colts +8.5, Packers money line, pick number three. 1-1-1. Let's do it.
If you go 1-1-1, I'll give you an extra point.
I'm not doing a 3-0 anymore. I can't do it. It's been like, I don't know. I think Travis Kelce's caught a touchdown since the last time I went 3-0 on the pick. So I'm just going to stay away from that.
There you go. I do like the pick, though. I think the Packers thing makes some sort of sense there. They just had some ugly performances. I do think they're a little bit, they got overhyped and now they got exposed. But now this is a spot where it's like, okay, do we really think, like, if this game was on the schedule 2 weeks ago, I think they're 7-point favorites, right? Like, we're talking about a team that was almost a touchdown favorite against the Giants 2 weeks ago. Now they lost a game or two and they stink against the Panthers. Like, no, that doesn't make sense to me. I think you got some good possible value on that spot there with the Packers. For my next pick, which might be my second pick, might be my third pick, we will find out when the T-Law news gets confirmed. But for this one, Pat, I'm going with a leg that you like very much, except I'm going straight. Kansas City Chiefs -10, home against the Las Vegas Raiders. And like you said, Pat, getting too hyped up about the 63-point win for the Raiders is probably the wrong thing to do here. This spread being 10 kind of shows me everything I need to know. With the Chiefs, we always get nervous in years past that they don't cover these big spreads. And for years, that was a bad spot to bet the Chiefs on the spread, right? They weren't covering these 10-point, 14-point spreads. They just weren't doing it. However, in their last five wins, four of them have been by 10 points or more. The only win out of their last five that wasn't was a one-touchdown victory over the Dolphins. Now, of course, they had a few losses mixed in there, so it's not like they're playing amazing football. They lost to the Bills, they lost to the Packers, they lost to the Eagles, but with the Raiders, last time they played, which wasn't too long ago, just 3 weeks ago, they beat them by two touchdowns. They beat them by 14 at Vegas. I think in Kansas City, you get the 10-point spread. You feel great about it. They are going to come out with a vengeance here. They just feel cheated. They feel like they, you know, lost that game in Buffalo that they shouldn't have. They come out. They beat the Patriots by 10. You probably would like to see them do more. However, they still, when you look at them and you look at the makeup of their statistics, they're still a top five, top six offense in the NFL from a yards per play perspective. They are running the ball back. Pacheco might be back this week. Even if Pacheco's not, Clyde Edwards-Helaire showed up and did some good stuff for them the past 2 weeks, filling in there. So maybe they're getting some stuff back. Jerick McKinnon obviously scored too. So I think the Chiefs are a great spot here. And this year, different from years past, they are actually covering some of these bigger spreads. So I'm not nervous by the 10. I want to keep it simple, and I'm going to do just that. Kansas City minus 10 is my second or third pick. We shall see. So that's all the picks. So I'm going to make another pick. I'm going to make a little just-in-case pick here as well. And I'm going to go with another favorite, which now makes me a little nervous that I'm on another favorite here. But some of my other picks are on the underdog, so I'm not going to overthink it there. I'm going to take the Detroit Lions at Minnesota, currently minus 3. The Detroit Lions obviously played an awesome game last week. They were down and out for a little bit there, but they found something again. They moved the ball again. They were doing all the good stuff, and the Detroit Lions are seeing the writing on the wall here that they need to kind of replant themselves in this conversation for contenders in the NFC. What better chance to do it than a divisional matchup on the road? It's still in a dome, so it's not going to be a whole Jared Goff can't play in the cold situation. So that's all positive for the Lions here. When you think about these two teams, the Vikings have been a nice story. They've been exciting here and there. But whether it's Mullins or Hall or Josh Dobbs, it's also been coming down where the other shoe is dropping on this Vikings team, where they're not as consistent as they should be. Obviously, losing Kirk Cousins all those weeks ago, they're just not the more talented team here. I think what makes you a little bit nervous about this matchup is the Brian Flores factor. You know, him putting pressure and blitzing a lot. Goff does not do well in those situations. But if the Lions can find that rhythm early, I think they're going to be the type of team that if they catch the lead early, they're going to run away with this game and possibly win big. So getting them at minus 3 feels pretty good for me. That'll be my backup pick if T-Law is actually announced out between now and, I'll say, Saturday probably. So I have four picks out there right now. Lions, Chiefs, straight up on the spread. Lions minus 3, Chiefs minus 10. The two-team teaser with the Colts and the Texans. And then we'll see what happens with T-Law. So that's my fourth pick of the week, and we'll see what happens. That's it. All right, good stuff. Week 16 in the books. Any last words for the fellas here? Cody, you got anything to say?
Just got a little lucky with an offsides call that ended up with the Rams kneeling it out to keep it under 52.5. And I just sent it in the chat. Hit a nice plus 550. So the Thursday night magic, it continues. Let's roll into the weekend.
We love that. And Patty, how about them Knicks the other night? I know it's sad that Mitch Robinson might be out for the season right now, but they're playing some decent basketball lately, and it felt pretty damn good that they put a hurting on the Brooklyn Nets, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, bro. 3-2 road trip, four of those games out west, and the two games they lost were one against the Clippers, who have been absolutely red hot, and yeah, giving up 144 points is definitely concerning. But look, Kawhi has been a machine. The one loss that, you know, you obviously hate to see is them losing to fucking Utah, but you know, for Jaylen to have that 50-burger and them to beat the Suns, to beat the Lakers, and then to absolutely throttle the Nets, you know, now that we got another test here. Who are the Knicks? How close are they to being a real legit contender? How far off are they from the level of the Bucks and the Celtics? We're going to find out, because they play the Bucks Saturday afternoon and Christmas Day afternoon. So two straight with Milwaukee, then they play the Thunder, then they play the Magic and the Pacers on the road, then they play the Timberwolves. So we're really going to find out who the Knicks really are here, especially without Mitchell Robinson over the next 2 weeks. It's a very exciting stretch coming up, but They've been playing great, and bro, it's always nice to put little bro back in his seat.
Yeah, that one's directed right at Mark Shenlugin. He deserves that after he made fun of the Knicks for losing to the Jazz right before the Nets went into Utah and lost the same exact way. And man, listen, playing in Utah, especially with Lauri Markkanen back, because he was out for a little bit there, they're good at home. And Lauri Markkanen's top-tier player in this league. He can get buckets, and they're a frisky team, right? We're not going to pretend like the Jazz are amazing, but there's worse teams to lose to, for sure. So, yeah, I think it's a good road stretch there for the Knicks. Excited to watch them kind of continue to put things together. Excited for Quentin Grimes, who's been shooting better since I posted that video on TikTok and Instagram, and a lot of people came in the comments, Grimes sucks, get rid of him. He's been 50% from three since he moved to the bench. And I got to say this, Pat, real quick, because I find it kind of interesting and it could be a negative overall for the Knicks. Ever since Grimes moved to the bench, he's getting more shots and he's shooting 50%. Dante DiVincenzo, however, though he had a great game against Brooklyn, his first like four or five games as a starter, the shots just weren't finding him, right? So is that a little bit problematic to you that that person who's fitting into that fifth spot in the starting rotation there is maybe just not getting the looks that they need to be consistent because Brunson, Randall, and Barrett just kind of control the ball so much? Like, I don't know. I know it didn't matter in the Nets game. DiVincenzo played great. He got many shots up and was awesome. But it's a little bit weird to me that that guy, whether it be Dante, whether it be Grimes, haven't been finding that rhythm consistently in that starting lineup.
Well, I mean, hopefully Dante continues to get looks like he did against the Nets. And he was all over that game, too. I mean, he had like five rebounds, awesome. I think, in the first quarter. He was snatching shit out of the air. So, I mean, it's the same thing as it always is with the Knicks offense. They can't rely on the iso ball. They can't let the ball stick. They've got to find that shooter, right? Because they need a three-point shooter, right? Jalen can do it on a certain night, right, when he drops 50. Julius can do it on a given night. But when neither of those guys are playing their A game, they need that shooter. And Quentin Grimes, in my opinion, hasn't been that, might never be that. I mean, I know it's very early on in his career, but, I mean, he has, to this point, for the most part, still totally lost his stroke. He has been playing better as of late with the bench unit, but he's not going to get as many open looks playing with that unit, playing with Quickley and those guys, as he would when he's playing with JB and Randall and Barrett. So I like Dante in that spot. You know, if he can be a good 3-and-D guy for them, get out and run, get out and transition, and he's there for the catch and shoot, bro, just knock down 40% of your triples, and I'll be a happy camper.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do. I just find it interesting because I think you're right. The big negatives come when the ball sticks and there's iso ball, because then all those guys, DiVincenzo, Hart and Grimes and Quickley, for that matter, they're not getting consistent looks. They're not feeling a part of the offense and it hurts them overall. Like, that just makes them not as dynamic. I still think the best version of this Knicks team is with Grimes and DiVincenzo being those quintessential 3-and-D guys, which is why I would be a little bit apprehensive for a DeMar DeRozan, because he is another guy who just wants the ball or needs the ball, and it's not filling the needs of the Knicks. So we'll see if DiVincenzo can really become a mainstay there.
Really quickly, you know who I want Leon Rose to go out and get, like, soon? Because now Jericho Sims is out for 2 weeks, so it's going to be a lot of Hartenstein and a lot more Taj Gibson. I call up Chicago and go, instead of DeMar DeRozan, go up and get Andre Drummond. Right? Mm. I mean, the Bulls are about, it looks like they're about to pack it in. With LaVine, he's due to get shipped out, I would say, in the next month or so as we get closer to the trade deadline. So once LaVine goes, I mean, you might as well break it all down. DeRozan's what, 34, 35 years old? Alex Caruso is an aging vet. It is time to break it up in Chicago. Go out and get me Andre Drummond so he can get 16 rebounds a night and kind of fill that void that Mitch has left.
Yeah, and I've been a Drummond hater in years past, but it does make sense for this team generally. All right, good stuff, everyone.
I got to break some news. No good night can go unsettled. Yamamoto just signed with the Dodgers for $300 million.
No way.
Stop.
Yeah. Oh, Yankee fans are going to be so sad. Oh, man. I mean, as a Mets fan, I'm sad that he's not a Met. But I'm much happier that he's not a Yankee. You got to be honest. Yankee fans get a lot of dip on the chip.
There were links to Philadelphia, too, which would have made me just off myself. I don't know. The Mets are going to pivot, and I'm telling you right now, they're going to go out and they're going to sign Blake Snell. And if they overpay him and sign him too long, like, I just don't think he is the Cy Young that he's going to get paid to be. And I know it's the right pivot. It's probably the only one now. But their offseason has now been relatively disastrous because they haven't really – that was the move. And now the Dodgers are probably going to be like plus 100 to win the World Series because they just they have the entire MLB.
12 years. Oh my god. 12 years, $325 million for Yamamoto. 12-year deal off rip. Wow. Dodgers saying screw it. Money's not real.
It's oh not my real. Gosh. He's not gonna get paid until what, like 2046?
My gosh. Him man. And Shohei, man. Look at them. Good for them, man. Good for them. But wow, what a world of MLB right now. 12-year deal for a guy who's never thrown a pitch in the big leagues. And granted, he looks like he's going to be off the charts. Great. However, 12 years, man. Woohoo. Wow. That's insane. That's insane.
The Dodgers suck, man. This is the worst. That Kobe Bryant and Chris Paul couldn't even play together under David Stearns, but they're going to let the entire Japanese World Baseball Classic team go play over there to meet up with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. Oh, God. They're going to win 120 games.
And lose in the playoffs. Probably not, actually, at this point. But nonetheless. All right. Well, that's a good wow. news break there, Cody. Appreciate you dropping that because I would have missed it, obviously. It was right next to the T-Law tweet that I didn't see either. But that's all right. That's all we got. Picks we'll get from Mark Shanlugan. They'll be on social media. You can follow us at Subway Sports Talk on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, everywhere you're on social media. We are there as well, posting the picks. And, yeah, subscribe, rate, review on the podcast app. Notification bell on YouTube. Hit us up. Let us know if you're appreciating the picks, if you're appreciating the show. We want to hear from you guys. Thank you so much. Pat, Cody, I'm Pete Kennedy. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.